Hello, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com and is also freely downloadable on iTunes. As always, today I'm excited to talk with another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Heather. Hey, Heather, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you.
It's real nice to have you with us as a guest. I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about you today.
I'm so honored that you asked me. Thank you.
You're welcome. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from and a little bit about what keeps you busy.
Yeah. Well, I'm Heather Gossidis. I'm from Edinburgh, Texas. That's way at the bottom, south of the border, practically. I'm 23. I'm also a mother to a beautiful little girl who is 3 years old. I'm also a full-time student at Pan Am, and I'm also a chapter leader for adults who stutter here in the Valley.
Okay, wow, great. That sounds like you're pretty busy.
Yes, I am, all the time.
what are you studying in college?
I'm currently a senior in our communications and sciences disorders program at the University of Texas Pan American. I will be graduating this upcoming spring or May in 2015, but I plan on applying for graduate school. So hopefully I get accepted and I can earn my master's too. And it's for a speech therapist, of course.
Oh, all right. All right. What got you interested in deciding to be a speech therapist?
It was actually one of those, you know, when you're in English classes, when they ask you to write an essay about something you overcome that you find that, you know, goes and defines you a bit or makes you stronger. And I took this class when I was actually when I had declared another major. My first major was pre-med bio. I wanted to be a pediatrician. And so when I had that class and she asked to write an essay and I thought about my stuttering, and then the part of the essay was also to like look into stuttering, the bits about it, like just all about it, right? And I thought about my own years in therapy and I got interested when I was reading on stuttering, all the theories, and just talking and communication in general is such a fascinating topic. And I got hooked on it, and I found out at my university that there's a program for it, and it's a very hard program to get into, so I didn't think I was going to be accepted on the first try, because a lot of people don't get accepted, but I did, and here I am. I love it. I love everything that I'm learning, so it's great.
Oh, great, great. Does your professors and your classmates know that you stutter?
Yes, they do now. I've made it pretty aware because I talk about my group all the time. I tell them, you know, anybody who stutters wants me, people send them my way, give them my email, my number. And I also announce to my class, we have like different types of fundraisers in the group, and I ask them if they'd like to help out and purchase or, you know, so I'm pretty, everybody knows that I'm a chapter leader, and then, it's nice. And my teachers are all involved. They love it. They send me some. Because on the campus, we have a speech and hearing clinic. And so whenever they have an adult who stutters, they send them my way. And it's nice. I love that. It makes me feel important. Like, it makes me feel helpful, at least to some people. So it's good.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Now, when did you start the support group for people who stutter? When did you start that?
I officially began the process last year in the summer, May, June, July, and then our first meeting after everything was approved and gathered, our first meeting was in August, and it was a wonderful meeting. I was very nervous, but I was excited to see what would happen, and it came out good. It was good.
Why did you want to start your own chapter?
I wanted my initial, why I initially like sought out a chapter was because there was none in my area. There was nothing, there's nothing nearby here. Then when I looked on the National Stuttering Association website for like a nearby chapter support group that I myself could join, the nearest one was in Corpus Christi, which is about a 3-hour drive from where I live, or 4-hour drive, depending on how fast you go. And I could not make that drive all the time, and I started contemplating that, I could help some. I could be useful. I mean, I talk about my stuttering to people, and I'm no. When they used to make fun of me, after high school years, I would tell them, "It's just a stutter. Get over it. It's not a big deal. Like, yeah, it's a part of me, but it's just a way of talking." And I was never. I'm not embarrassed about it anymore, or not embarrassed, but I'm not ashamed, or I'm not hesitant to talk about my stuttering to anybody who would ask me. So I figured, maybe I could help people who are not where I am at. And I didn't know if there was anybody in the valley who stuttered. I'm pretty sure there's more. I just haven't met them. But of the people that I have met, I do feel like I'm helping them. So it's a wonderful type of feeling knowing that you're helping somebody, even if it's a small way. You're making them improve as an individual. So it's a very nice feeling. And I thought maybe I could help them. So I did it. And I wanted them to take me serious because I am 23, but I look 19, 20 because of my braces. I look very young, I know, but they're getting removed this summer, so I'm excited.
All right. All right. So
Maybe I'll be.
it's coming up on a year that you've had the support group.
Yes, it'll be a year in August, the year of my birthday, and I'm excited. We're gonna have a little gathering, a little celebration for our group, and because other members who were initially there in the beginning, they're all still there now, and it makes me happy to see them coming every month. It's a nice feeling.
That's great. Well, congratulations on that. That's a great accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you.
How many people attend the meetings?
On an average, about two or three. The most I've ever had is about five or six. But not all of them who go are stutterers. Sometimes they just want to know like what it's like as a person who stutters. They want to hear like our perspective, so they come. And I always tell them, if you want to come, that's fine. I just need you to understand that those people that are in the room, they do stutter, and it's a lot. It takes a lot like for them to talk about it. So I always ask them to be polite and respectful. And but they are. I've never had anybody who's ever been rude or anything like that. But yes, it's a year, and I love it. I love going to my meetings. I love meeting people. And our past meeting this past month was great because we had two new people come that I've never met before, and they wanted to be a part of the group.
So you were talking about how happy you are with the group, and that you just recently had a couple of new members join. How do people find out about it?
I pass out tons of flyers all over Edinburgh, McAllen. A few of my members don't live in my city. They live in a few cities away, about an hour away. And so he also posts flyers everywhere. He's more brave. Well, it's like a challenge for him. One of my members, I just post them. I stick them on coffee shops, anywhere I can put a flyer. In a restaurant, I ask them. He makes it a challenge for himself, and he goes and passes them out at the college that's over there for him. So that's how we get our word of mouth, basically, too. We try as much as we can to do that, and people generally just hear about it. Our interview on our local news channel here last month also helped us out a great bit with getting our valley to know that we're here, that there is a group for people who stutter. A lot of people, when I say NSA, they think of the National a security agency? And I'm like, no, nothing like that. It's they don't even know. And then half the time when I say I'm a stutter, they think like something's wrong, or they're like, you stutter? And I was like, yeah, I do. But they don't think of it as stuttering. They half the time think I'm nervous. I'm like, no, it's just how I talk. It just comes out like that.
So tell me about that TV interview that you guys did. That's so awesome. How did that come about?
I was looking for ways to get our group known more throughout the valley, our Rio Grande Valley here in Texas, in the tip of Texas. And I thought, getting on TV would be a great way to like get known, because everybody here watches Channel 5 News. So I kind of avoided it for a while because I was kind of nervous to be on TV. But when I did finally make the call, we scheduled one, and there's a on the news channel, they have like a segment on Sundays called Inside the Valley, and they do like a little bit spotlights on groups or events that are coming on. So I got my group on a spot for the Sunday news, or Sunday the Sunday watch news, where everyone watches it. And I got myself on, and we scheduled it for a month in advance. And I asked one of my, I asked, well, I told my group who would feel okay going on TV with me. I would like to show, myself as a leader, and then I would like to show that I have a member. I would really like if anybody was to be brave enough to go with me on TV, because I know it takes a lot. And I had a volunteer. Well, we sort of like, a friendly little push. And he did it. He was all for it. He's like, okay, I'm gonna take this challenge. And it took him a lot to go on TV. My friend Jacob, that I now see him as a friend. And he prepared himself weeks in advance, and it was so cute how he was preparing himself. Me, I had to get my mental on. I had to calm down, and it was great. The lady who interviewed us was Dina Herrera Garza, and she, asked questions how we got started. She asked about my stuttering, and she asked Jacob a question on why he chose to go to our meetings, like what made him go. And he was preparing for that question the entire time, and he did great. He did wonderful. I'm so proud of him. He answered, and he was embarrassed that he stuttered. I'm like, but that's what we are. We stutter. We are telling people, so it's good that we stutter on TV. That way they go and believe us. Because if we don't stutter, then like, are you sure? It gives people like, oh, okay, she does exactly like how I do, or he does exactly what I'm doing. And I wanted to relate to. I wanted to be able to relate to other people, and it was a good interview. It's still online, technically, on the Channel 5 website.
I remember watching it when you posted it on Facebook, and I was really impressed. Like, wow, that's wonderful. Was that your first time that you were ever on TV?
Yes, it was my first time. My
Yeah.
first.
Were you nervous?
Yes. I was nervous, but I was okay. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be. I've learned to like calm myself down when I get anxious, so I'm not as bad as I used to be. And when I was preparing and I was waiting to get my turn to be interviewed, I was nervous, but more of a excited nervous, because I wanted to get my message across. I wanted to see if people would hear me. And after that interview aired, I got lots of emails, and it was nice. I'm like, yay, people saw me. It got spread. My mission accomplished.
Now, you got lots of emails from people that were congratulating you, or were they also asking you about the group?
Both. I had a few parents. I had also a few individuals who said that they themselves are per they are people who stutter, and that they like that I am advocating it in the valley, that I'm spreading awareness. They said that before me, nobody's been doing, at least not on stuttering here, nobody does that. And so they were congratulating me on that and telling me, you know, if I ever have a in fundraise events to like let them know they'd love to help out, you know, what they can. They didn't ask about attending our meetings, but you know, people are busy. I understand, so it's okay. But I did get a couple people who did come to my meetings. One girl and one guy saw my interview, and then they came to our meeting, which was this past time. So I was like, yay, they came, and they finally came, and it was great. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Oh wow, that's great. That must have took a lot of courage for you and your friend Jacob to do that.
Yeah, it took us a lot, but I know it took him a lot more than me because he's a little bit more shy about it than I am. I'm pretty outspoken when I need to be, and I don't mind talking about it, so it was good. It was a good challenge for both of ourselves.
Now, you've mentioned that you're more outspoken and more confident these days than you were when you were younger. What was it like for you growing up with a stutter?
It was really hard. I was bullied up until middle school, about eighth grade, I would say it stopped. In high school, I never got bullied for stuttering or anything like that. But growing up, it was pretty hard because my stuttering was really bad. I couldn't say a word or a sentence. Like every word I would stutter on, so I sometimes refused to talk. It got so bad at one time when I was in elementary school. They had the school got a lady from here at Pan Am University, and she was like my big sister. They got me talking to her because they wondered why this girl was not even talking. But it was hard, and all through at the same time that this was happening, I was also in therapy, like for speech for stuttering. I began in the first grade, and I stopped in seventh grade. So at the same time I was being bullied, I also had therapy, and it was a challenge, but it was an experience, and I don't regret it. And by the time I got to high school, I don't know, my stuttering just didn't bother me as much. I guess I was like tired of seeing it as a big issue. So once like something clicked or a light went in my head, it really didn't bother me anymore. I had a friend in high school who we're still friends, and she every time I stuttered, she would laugh, and I would never say anything because I didn't want to make it seem like it bothered me, so I never said anything. But after I met her in my freshman year, but by the time our sophomore year, she still kept laughing every time, and I, in the nicest way ever, I said, "Lauren, I would really appreciate if you wouldn't laugh at me every time I stutter. I know you don't mean it in a mean way because you're my friend, but it does make me a little bit more anxious when you do laugh at me when I stutter." So I told her I would appreciate it if you wouldn't, and she started crying. She
Oh.
was crying. She had no idea that she had been hurting me, or not hurting me, but offending me in a small way. And that's when I realized, like, people who do not stutter, they don't know what they're doing sometimes with other people who do stutter. Like, they don't see their actions as rude or offensive because they're just not aware. It's not their fault. They're not aware. Like, Lauren was not aware that it was bothering me because I never said anything, and she saw it as like a cute thing when I stuttered. She said, "You're so cute. I couldn't help but like laugh, but because I think you're adorable," she would tell me. And that's when I realized I need to be more a little bit more vocal about it because it is a part of me, and if I ever want to get anywhere in life, it's all about communication, it's all about talking, and I can't let that bother me or hinder me or make me a little bit shy, because then I'll never get anywhere. So that was, by the time high school, I was fine. I didn't let it bother me at all. And then college came around, and I'm fine. And now I'm a support group leader, so it really doesn't bother me anymore that I stutter. I do get nervous, of course, talking, you know, in front of people. Like, but that's like any other person in front of a crowd. We all get nervous or, you know, a little bit shy, but that's normal. But I don't let it like deter me from doing anything that I want to do. I still make speech presentations in class, and I have to. Life keeps going.
Now, what did you think of the therapy that you had as a kid?
I enjoyed it. It never felt like work. It felt like it was fun. I enjoyed therapy. I used to get out of class, and I don't remember like everything we did, but I remember some things, like some exercises involving mirrors, long mirrors, and hearing myself, and a lot of like games, but all involving me talking and learning to like control my breathing. And, get enough air when I talk beforehand. It's all about like slowing me down a bit. And I love therapy. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I got to go to class. Everybody was like, "Where's she going?" I loved it. I enjoyed my I had two therapists. The first one, I can't remember her name, but I remember she was blonde and a little old lady, but she was so nice. When I started in first grade, it was her. Then I had went to a different elementary school, and I met this other lady, and she turned out to be my dance. In middle school, she was also my dance coach, because I was
Oh.
in the dance team. So she kind of like followed me, like throughout the years. Like in school, it just happened to be like everywhere that I was at, it was her there. So she was a school speech therapist at that school. So. She was with me the whole entire time up until like I was done, or I graduated from speech therapy, as I like to
So you've never done any speech therapy as an adult then?
No, I never sought out therapy or anything, but my friend Jacob was in my group. He's in therapy right now for as an adult. He started last year and he's still going. I just felt that I didn't need it anymore. I thought about it sometimes, but I pretty much know how to calm down and talk, and just I know what works with me well. I know how to whenever I feel a stutter, like I can feel it before it comes in my throat, and so I have like my box of tools in my head of which one will work best with me at that moment. So I feel like I don't need therapy because I kind of have the tools or techniques that works best with me already known. I know myself, so that's why I'm not therapy anymore. But I mean, I think it's a great way for people who don't feel that way, who feel they still need a little bit more help, and it's great. Jacob, my friend, when he started in August therapy, and now there's a big improvement. I think that has to do with a lot with his self-esteem. But I think he's improved greatly, a lot. So it's awesome.
Well, you seem to be very confident and accepting of your own stutter, and you definitely come off as a very effective and poised communicator. So I just thought I'd share that.
Thank you, Emily. Years of trial and error.
I can definitely relate to that. Now, you said that you have a 3-year-old daughter.
Yes, my beautiful Luna.
What a great name. Have you
You.
ever worried that she might start stuttering?
Yes and no. I worry, but not in a bad way. 'Cause I've heard her stutter right now. So she's 3, and technically all kids at that age are stuttering. It's just they're learning how to speak, how to use their words, so it's normal. I took a class in a Pan Am about language development, and so around this age, it's normal if kids are stuttering. It's when they reach like about the age of 5 or 6 when it's like more frequent, then maybe their child should get evaluated. And if Luna were to stutter, I think I'd be able to help her more effectively than my father helped me. So I'm not too worried. I know she can handle it because I'm teaching her how to be a very strong individual now and have her opinions. Because when I was a kid, I wasn't like that. I was very shy, hesitant, and I was kind of like a wallflower, and I didn't mind blending in. And I want her to stand. I want her to be adamant, what she thinks, what she feels. So I want her to be a strong individual. So if she does, that's fine. I'd be able to help her. maybe not give her, I heard or read that's not good to give your own child therapy, so I would seek out another person if she were to need therapy, because it runs in my family on both sides, my mother and my father. It's everywhere in my family. When I found that out last year, actually.
Oh, really? So who else in your family stutters?
All my uncles. I found, because last year in my group, we had a Thanksgiving dinner meeting. We all like brought, you know, meals, and I had a guest speaker, which is my uncle, my tío Juan Gassis. He's a State Farm agent, and when I had told them that, because I always ask my family members if they'd like to help out or donate or buy whatever it is I'm fundraising, and so when I told them that I'm in the and I have a support group, they were like, "Did you know that we stutter?" And I was like, "No, nobody's ever told me anything." And so it was really interesting hearing my history. I know my dad stuttered ever since I was little. My dad stuttered. He didn't really help me though, growing up, making it better. I really, you know, when people say it, just calm down, you know, when you're stuttering, or hurry up, or spit it out, you know, that's what my dad used to tell me. And I get mad at him now. I'm like, "Dad, you know that did not help me at all growing up telling me that. And you should know because you stutter." He still stutters daily, like me. And he was like, I made you become strong." I'm like, "Yeah, you did something all right." I don't know if you want to call it dad, but okay. But yeah, all my uncles. And on my mom's side, two of my aunts. They told me that they went to therapy as a kid. My aunts. On my mom's side, my uncles on my dad's side, they said that at the time period when they were growing up, there wasn't really speech therapy around, so they didn't have any type of class or anything. So they just had to like do it themselves or learn how to, like, you know, just by themselves how to speak better or calm themselves down. So, but it's in my family, it's a gene thing in my family at least. So yeah, she could have it, and if my baby were to be stuttering, she would be fine because she has a mother who's already been through that. So I'd be able to help her every step of the way, mentally and verbally.
Yeah, well, she is definitely a very lucky little girl, because she's got a strong, courageous, independent woman as her mother. So you're right. I think she'll be prepared to handle whatever comes her way.
Yeah, she will be better than me in every way. I want her stronger, talk, be as loud as she wants growing up.
Now, now, Heather, do you speak two languages?
Yes. I'm not a fluent Spanish speaker, but I can carry conversation and I can know what they're saying. I just have a hard time talking it back, because when I speak in Spanish, my stuttering comes out a lot more than when I'm talking in English.
That's what I was going to ask. I wondered about that.
Yeah, it's a challenge speaking Spanish. Everybody in my family speaks Spanish, and I'm not fluent because when I was a kid, when I was younger, when we were all learning, you know, Spanish, because all my family speaks it, I was still learning how to speak English, how to talk. So I couldn't learn both languages. I couldn't practice that because I didn't really talk much. So I didn't learn Spanish. I didn't start practicing Spanish till like my high school years, when I was okay with, you know, asking questions. And I took a Spanish class like 2 summers ago to like refresh myself. And it's a challenge speaking in Spanish, because I stutter a lot, but it's okay. My grandmother speaks only Spanish, and she knows I stutter, and we communicate fine. She understands me, and she's patient with me when it comes around, because for me, I get stuck on words in Spanish a lot, like in a syllable sense. I get stuck in a word, and I get literally like a block, and I have to restart again from the word beginning, because it just won't flow for me. But it's okay. I don't mind practicing it, because I would like to be a bilingual therapist one day.
Okay.
I would like to do that. I need to get better in my Spanish, so I need to practice.
Now that probably makes a lot of sense based on where you live, right? Because there must be a lot of Spanish speaking people in the valley, right?
Yes, there's everybody here. It's assumed that everybody in here knows Spanish, and there are a couple of people in the valley that I've met that get offended that, if you're Mexican and you live here, and if you don't know Spanish, you're insulting your race or who you are. And I don't view it like that because, I mean, I have a story. There's a reason why I don't know Spanish as well, and I don't have to tell anybody or explain myself why I don't. So, or at least like to those people who got offended one time because I am at a job, they got offended that I didn't speak it fluently, and I kind of like gave it to her in a nice way of that I don't have to technically know Spanish. It is helpful, yes, and I'm trying, but you don't need to know why I don't. It's really none of your business, I told her in the nicest way. I try not to be mean or anything like that, but when I need to be, when I need to be forceful, I am in my own way. And but I'm practicing it, and everybody here speaks Spanish. You go to the stores, restaurants, they speak Spanish, and you have to ask in English, and they speak English to you. It's we're right by Mexico, like neighbors next door. I go to Mexico once a month for my braces. I go alone. That's how it's known here, everywhere. Very prominent being a Mexican here.
Well, it sounds like you're very assertive woman, and you know how to stand up for yourself, which is a wonderful character trait to have. So, and again, your daughter's very lucky to have somebody that's so independent. So, kind of winding down at this point, I'm just curious, are you planning to go to the upcoming National Stuttering Association conference in July?
Yes, I am planning on it. I'm praying that I go. I'm doing all that I can right now to get all the funds needed so I can go, and I will be bringing my daughter along to the conference.
Oh, exciting, exciting. Now, will this be your first one?
My first one.
Oh, wow. Well, let me tell you will find it to be such an empowering situation, and you'll meet so many people from all over and all different walks of life who stutter. When you hear that attending a conference of people who stutter can change your life, it is so true. I attended my first one in Long Beach, California in 2006, and I've not missed one since. So this will be my ninth one coming up.
Yes, I'm so excited to go because I want to see and learn all that I can while I'm there, so I can bring any tools or news or anything that I can bring back down into my valley here and spread it here. I would love to do that. So that's another reason why I want to go. Not just because I want to meet people like myself who stutter. I want to see, but I also want to I want to be helpful to people here. I want to see what I can bring down here from there, or share what I've learned from there to here.
Well, there will be workshops that are specifically geared towards speech therapists and SLP students, and there's also workshops on acceptance and advertising and personal confidence. So there'll be a broad range of things for you to get involved in. And there's also a chapter leaders workshop.
Yes,
So
I saw. I'm excited about that.
yeah. So well, I do hope that you get to make it. I look forward to meeting you in person. That will be exciting.
Was wonderful.
Yeah, so one last question. If there's any young girls listening, what would your advice be to a teenager who stutters, who doesn't have any support and feels that she's all alone? What advice would you give give her to help her be more accepting of her stuttering?
I would tell her not to be so hard on yourself. You're never alone. We're never alone. And if people want help, if whoever wants help, if they truly want it, they need to seek it out themselves. They need to be brave. It takes a lot to be brave, I know, and do things that are out of your comfort zone. But if you ever want to grow as an individual and, develop, you need to be brave and make that first step, or ask for a question. You need to do it for yourself, because I've learned that nobody will do things for you unless you yourself do it first. And you will never be happy in anything you do unless you are happy with yourself as a person. So I would tell her to be brave. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. You're human. You're gonna learn. You're gonna fall. You're gonna make mistakes. But to seek out help, find a way to help yourself, because that's the best thing you can do.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Heather, it's been so wonderful getting to know you a little bit, and I just want to say thank you so much for being a guest and for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. You're going to inspire others.
Thank you for inviting me, and I hope I do. I want to help as many people as I can, because I know it's hard. I know life is very hard, and if I can make it easier, or have them, or be a support for anybody, I would love to be.
Well, thank you again, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Story.